This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Hey, everybody. Here's a quick question. What could happen if you said to yourself, I mean, either out loud or in your mind there, personal best, personal best. No, better, out loud, personal best, personal best. Well, a lot can happen, and that's sort of where the book we're going to talk about today started from. The book is called On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine, and who doesn't want to do that? Kara Bradley, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Sure. So I loved the story. You have to tell the story right off the bat about the out loud saying personal best, because that's really where this whole concept of On the Verge started, isn't it?
Absolutely. It was a life-changing moment for me when I was 19 years old. I was a college track runner, mediocre, I have to add, and it was my last race. It was the championship race, and I did something very different that day. I went off on my own before the race and started to do just this very slow warm-up jog, thinking about my career and how I'd been pretty mediocre, and I started to repeat to myself, personal best. Personal best, over and over for a few minutes. By the time I got to the starting line, I was really clear and calm. I'd never felt that way before. Usually I'd feel like I wanted to throw up before the race. Why am I doing this? This is going to hurt. But that day I distinctly remember being really awake and aware of everything around me. And so the race went off and I ran the 800, two laps. First lap, I just ran it. I don't remember much. But the second lap, I remember having a very vivid thought. And that was when I passed our best mid-distance runner. And I thought to myself, well, she must be having a really bad day.
And, you're like not giving yourself any credit there. Like, oh,
well, I really didn't deserve the credit because, like I said, I was pretty much middle of the pack for my whole career. Well, I ended up in third place. My teammates jumped on me. I had no idea what happened until I looked at the clock and I saw that I had shaved 6 seconds off my 800, which is ridiculous. And so my first reaction was, I did it. But then very quickly that wave of disappointment came over me, and I said to myself, are you kidding? I've had this strength in me my whole career. Why had I not ever been able to tap into it? What happened to me on that race, during that race? How do I do it again? And there it goes, and that was the beginning of my journey.
And the title, On the Verge, there's an actual place that's called The Verge, right? Or On the Verge.
Well, this is what's so cool. So for years and years, I was looking at my race, looking, studying human potential, brain capacity, how we're able to rise above doubt and fear. And so years later, my husband went to the Amazon. He spent some time with an indigenous tribe down there. And when he came back, he was telling me about these places that they would often stop on the river. And it's where ecosystems would meet, where rivers met the land, where there was a lot of energy. And the indigenous people revered this place as sacred. This place is called The Verge. And it's actually where wildlife and plant life thrive. It's where we're at our most diverse. So I started to look at this place called The Verge down in the Amazon and started to think about if there was a verge around me, where would it be? What would it feel like to stand on it? And that was where I came up with my life's passion and what I teach about, which is how to wake up in this moment and shine right now.
And you are what's called a mental strength coach. A lot of us could use mental strength now and again. And one of the things, because this is the point where everybody's like, oh, okay, are you going to tell me to sit and meditate for 5 hours and climb to a mountain and then I have to eat, you know, grass? And so we can achieve some of this without going through all of that, correct?
Oh, yes. And in fact, the name mental strength coach, you know, I made it up myself, actually, because I've been training athletes. I was an athlete myself, and I've been training college football players, college basketball players for the last 12 years. And so instead of calling myself a yoga teacher or a meditation teacher, what I'm really doing with them and with many other students is I'm helping them train their mind through movement. So calling myself a mental strength coach is a little bit more, it's a little more palpable for these guys instead of just, oh, my yoga teacher's here. It's like, no, my mental strength coach teacher or coach is here, and we're going to train my mental muscle so I can compete at a higher level.
And in the book, On the Verge, you do have little sections called primer practice. And a lot of times, everybody, when you read this book, you think, oh, here we go. I got to write in a book. I got to do these other things. Her primer practice ones are actually very quick. They're really fast, and you can do them without a lot of effort. Now, I'm going to put a little quotes or asterisks or something right there, because you talk about where your focus goes and then bringing it back around, you know, and tell everybody a little bit about the whole sitting there for 5 minutes or 2 minutes and paying attention to every little thing.
That's great. And that's it's a great observation that you made, because in writing this book, I know every trick in the book, right? I've been teaching for over 30 years, and I know our tendencies to kind of brush past stuff in books or read the practice and say, yeah, okay, that sounds great. So I was very, very intentional about making things simple, easy to do. And then the great thing is I also have a free app that has all these practices that are good, all these guided audio and video practices for free download. The essential thing for us all to recognize is that unless we're doing something consistently, it's never going to stick. So if we can just start small with some of these ideas and these possibilities that I'm offering in the book, if we can start small with them and do them every day, it does start to shift the way our brain works. It starts to shift our ability to focus more often, or to let go of drama, or to lean into the uncomfortable. So these primer practices, the name primer really comes from, like, when you prime your lawnmower, you mm-hmm. know, that little squishy button.
When people swear when they can't get
it. One that never works, right? uh-huh. But you have to prime yourself a little bit in order to start to get it. So the primer practices are simple ways to help you notice when you're not here, when you're distracted, and also, and this is something I think that's unique in a lot of the mindfulness stuff out there, I'm also helping you to notice when you are here. Like, notice when you recognize the sunset. Notice when you notice your breath. Notice when you smell your coffee. Notice when you're noticing, when you're here, not just when you're not here. And so these are all ways for us to train our mind, to train our busy mind, to show up on purpose in this moment. And that is when ultimately everything we do better. Just like during that race, when I showed up because my mind had settled. Mm-hmm. And I was just there, and all of a sudden I was tapping into strength I never thought I had, because I was riddled with doubt mm-hmm. and fear.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up about the strength, because here's what's happening, everybody, as I'm reading the book. So I've been doing some of the primers, I've been doing everything, and even just the small point of sitting there and noticing what sounds you hear, how your feet feel in your shoes, the taste in your mouth. All of these are sort of things that sort of hypersensitize, like it puts you, help me out here. You know what I'm trying to say? Come on, Kara.
I do.
I can't get it out. What am I trying to say?
So what happens when we're just right here in this moment? And it could be any moment. It doesn't have to be like a perfect moment, right? Because not all moments are by the seashore watching the sunrise, right? We've got a lot of other moments in our lives. When we can start to show up in this moment, we start to experience what I call high definition, high voltage living. What happens is when we're right here, right now, not thinking about what happened a minute ago or worrying about the future, we actually tap into our senses fully. The sky looks brighter. Things appear more vivid. Tastes are more distinct. You can hear sounds. You sense your body and your impulses and the wisdom that's always kind of guiding you from within. We start to live in high def as opposed to this muddled, muddled.
I made up a word. That's good. Trademark that.
Yes. Muddled, frazzled, kind of way that most of us are walking through life. So this is just a training in living in high def.
And is that living in high def, is because you talk about living in your natural state. Mm-hmm. Is that what our natural state is?
Right, right, exactly. We are already clear. All of us are already open, available, compassionate, creative. We have so many unbelievable capacities and potentials that are just waiting to be tapped into. It's just that most of the time, we're seeing life and experiencing life through the baggage in our mind and the constraints of our emotions. Now, thinking and feeling are not bad things. You know, that's what makes life wonderful and brilliant. It's when we get stuck in repetitive thoughts or emotions that are suffocating us, that's when we start to really shut ourselves down from showing up fully. Mm-hmm. So who we are already, and everyone's heard this, we already have everything we need to show up and shine. It's a matter of shifting and stepping beyond all the junk and the baggage that hold us back. And so that's all I'm offering, is a possibility that perhaps you can train yourself to show up on purpose.
Mm-hmm. And let's take a brief moment here for everybody to think about this, because which one of these is you? Okay, because she breaks down all that brain busyness that goes on. We've got the sloppy brain, the crazy busy, the autopilot, information overload, and overthinking. Now, if I asked everyone listening right now, which one are you? I'm going to guarantee most of them are going to say all. I'm all of those packed into one.
Exactly.
So give us a quick little example about, let's start with sloppy brain.
So sloppy brain, and you're absolutely right, Lisa. We are all these things at different times. And the reason why I offer them is because we need to have a sense of humor about this. Mm-hmm. Because we are all walking around with all this most of the time. And let's not beat ourselves up. Let's just get really curious to see how we're functioning in this world. Because once we can start to notice it, it actually starts to dissolve in our hands. So sloppy brain can be as, you know, silly as, you know, dropping your keys when you're trying to get into your front door, or trying to do too many things at once so that you forget to pick up your kid or whatever. These sloppy, little sloppy accidents that we have all of the time. I went to work with my slippers on one day because I just wasn't thinking, right? I was too involved in everything else. I wasn't paying attention.
You weren't making a new fashion statement?
I was.
Oh, of course. Of course you were. That's what I would have gone with. So what about crazy busy mind?
Crazy busy is just something that we are all running on. You know, you ever notice that when you meet a friend, it's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, great, great. Yeah, crazy busy. See ya. Bye. It's like we don't even pause anymore. We just kind of state the fact that we are crazy busy, and we all get that. And for some reason, that's kind of acceptable, which is crazy in itself.
Right. And autopilot?
Autopilot, we're just all on. So many times. How many times have you driven home from work and you get into your driveway and you think, how did I just get here? Or you're halfway through your meal and you don't even remember eating your meal. So again, it's recognizing, not beating yourself up, just recognizing, oh my gosh, there I go again. I don't even remember sending that email, and now I've just stuck my foot in my mouth.
Right. Information overload.
It's just part of being alive right now in this world. We're bombarded. Our phones everywhere, the gas station, advertisements, constant noise, constant choices. It's just, again, a way to recognize what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. And this one, I think, sometimes goes hand in hand with worry, and it's overthinking.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great point, by the way. So we think 80% of the thoughts that we have today, we thought yesterday and the day before. And a lot of the times it's that sense of anxiety, of forgetting something, of needing to do something that you don't have the time to do. So we repeat. This drains us. It absolutely saps our energy. Again, when we can slow ourselves down to start noticing where we are in any given moment, we can start to recognize, okay, I don't need to think about the post office 15 times in this minute. I will get to it tomorrow. we can start prioritizing when we actually allow ourselves to think of certain things.
So noticing things in the moment, but then we're adding to this where it's move my body, meet my mind, and notes to self. Mm. What is that?
So all of these Verge practices, again, like I said before, I've been teaching for so long now, I really have tried to boil it down to the essential oil of what we need to show up and experience life fully. So notice this moment is the first one. It's ways, primer practices to help us get sharper at distinguishing where we are. And then these other practices like move my body. Moving our bodies every day in a rhythm, synchronizing your breath and your body in a rhythm like walking or swimming or gardening or anything that you're doing that allows you to start to settle and stabilize helps you to shift beyond all of these types of busy minds that we just described and helps you to arrive right here in this moment, right now in this breath, right now for this cup of tea, right now for this email. Oh, when we can do that, we do whatever we need to do better.
And that lets us synchronize our mind with our body. So when we move our body, then our minds follow.
That's right. It comes into rhythm. It comes into harmony. And this is all scientifically proven, that the run out there clears our mind. It settles our brains. It settles our nervous system. Even the walk or a couple of minutes of arm movement can help us really shift ourselves. And then meet my mind, the next practice, is a seated practice when you may close your eyes or pause in stillness for a few minutes. And again, following your breath as a way to slow yourself down so you can become familiar with all the ways your mind gets busy. This is a relearning. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know.
Yeah, and a lot of people, it's the patience factor. They don't have patience with themselves. They don't have patience with their bodies or their families or whatever it is in general. So it really is a great patience practice. And even if you just start sometime today, even if it's sitting at your desk for a minute, closing your eyes and just paying attention to the way your body feels sitting in the chair or what you hear coming from outside, that's going to shift immediately. Okay. And I know your brain is going to want to go, yeah, but you have this report and yeah, you got this to do and la, la, la. But you have to start somewhere. We can't just keep putting this off. We're, you know, creating this world of anxious, overwrought, overstimulated human beings. And that's where knowing where your verge is going to help. Right, Kara?
Yeah, that's so well put. It's so well put. We can no longer just continue to do what we're doing, right? Because the overdoing, the overthinking is causing an incredible amount of disease and stress and unhappiness in our lives in general. We already have all that we need, right? You don't need another book. Right? I'm telling you that. You don't need another teacher or another this or another that. So much of what we already experience, it's just happening below or beyond the level of all of this busyness. If we can start to recognize these experiences of being fully alive, being awake, feeling clear, when we can start recognizing those, we'll start to see them more often. So it's like when you decide to buy a certain type of car and then all of a sudden you see the car everywhere.
Yeah.
When you start to recognize these brilliant moments of aliveness that are beyond busyness, beyond drama, when you start to notice them in your life, and they happen when you lift your gaze from your car and see the sunset, or when you meet somebody's gaze, or when you pause for a moment after your exercise to feel your heart beating. There are these moments that are happening all the time when we feel awake and brilliantly alive. And so if we could start looking at those, we'll start to notice them more often. Mm-hmm. We'll start to seek them out in meetings. right? We'll start to seek them out before we go to bed, when we wake up with our friends. And this is, I believe, when we start to shift from just being crazy busy to actually enjoying life more and feeling what I say, awake and fully alive.
And you're married, right?
Yes.
So your husband can't get away with, yeah, I hear you, honey. Because you'll be like, oh no, you're not even in the room.
Right.
I know you're not paying attention to me. Well, and you did at one point bring up, I forget it was which sport it was, but oh, it was the kicker for football. And you saw him run out and his eyes weren't, you know, focused on the task at hand. And you thought he's not going to be able to hit it through the uprights there. And it was just a matter of he wasn't present in the moment.
Yeah, that and we know this instinctively. We're intelligent sensory beings. We know this about other people. We know when we're talking to somebody, and we know when they're not really listening. And you know, the thing is, when you read a written note, you could also sense if somebody was present when they were writing it, or if it was rushed. And I believe we can know it through email or texting. Like, we just have this incredible intelligence below the radar of all of our thinking. Mm-hmm. And when we're able to start to tap into our own intelligence, this subtle pulsing, shifting, informing, we show up in life in whatever we're doing, from cooking dinner for our family to speaking in front of a crowd. And we do it better because we're not caught up in doubt, fear, anxiety, comparison, or just all of the thinking that crowds our mind.
The book is called On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine. And we do have the link on our website. And of course, you know, you're available to come back and listen to this wonderful interview anytime. But we are at the point we call the RL3, three silly, goofy questions that Kara has graciously agreed to answer. Here is your first question. Which temptation do you try the hardest to resist?
Oh, there are two. I'm going to say wine and chocolate.
Oh, they go so well together. How can you have one without the other? Okay, here's question number two. Who's the most unusual member of your family?
I'm going to have to say me, because I'm definitely off the charts when it comes to how I live my life.
What? You're left to center? Come on. We love that. That's where the good stuff is. Now, you think your whole family would agree to that you are the most unusual?
I think so. Yep. For sure.
All right. The third and final question is where we find out your fantasy name. So it is going to be the name of the first pet you ever had, put together with the street you grew up on. What is your fantasy name?
That would be Clyde West 13th Street.
Okay, Clyde West 13th Street. I'm not even sure what Clyde would do, but I just let, what was Clyde? A dog, a cat, a horse?
Clyde was my parakeet, and I lived in Brooklyn.
Nice, Clyde the parakeet. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time, showing up with us, helping us learn how to shine. Again, the book, On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine with Kara Bradley. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you all.